The early afternoon sun blazed in the September sky, shining like a single spotlight on me. Barbara Streisand serenaded me through the speakers of my portable cassette player. I was headed west from New York in my brand new maroon 1969 Cadillac Eldorado, flying by the gas stations and vile diners that dotted Route I-80 and leaving my largely miserable past behind. For the first time in my 34 years schlepping around the planet, I was free, physically, mentally, and financially free. I was escaping the life forced on me by my chronically unhappy parents. I'd seen freedom before only briefly, changing my name from Elliot Teichberg to the less Jewish-sounding Elliot Tiber, and working as an ultra-chic interior designer in Manhattan. But when my parents told me they were opening a motel in upstate New York, this secretly gay, Brooklyn-bred yeshiva boy had done the right thing and moved to the backwoods to help. The Elmonico Motel had been a miserable failure, the worst investment in the history of the universe. Nobody in his right mind would have invested a penny in this shambles of a resort. And yet, I had been sucked into this black hole by my parents, working there as equal parts slave, toilet cleaner, lawn mower, and promoter. By the start of 1969, our 14th year polluting the world of tourism, all we'd had left to keep the motel from going into foreclosure were the remnants of my savings as an interior decorator. I had done everything I could to bring business to the Elmonico. I had even become president of the local chamber of commerce in the hopes that something would happen. And then something had happened. Something just short of a miracle. As the president of the Bethel Chamber of Commerce, I had had the authority to issue licenses for outdoor music festivals. So when I read in the local paper that the Woodstock Ventures people had lost their permit to hold a concert in Wallkill, about 50 miles away, I made a call. I introduced myself to Woodstock mastermind Mike Lang and said I could provide them with a permit to hold their festival on my 15 acres of glorious Borscht Belt swampland. That didn't quite work out as planned. But 3 weeks later, on Max Yasker's farm, our world changed. The Woodstock Festival was a massive success, and for the first time in our crummy motel's existence, we were making more money than we could count, renting out the entire motel to Woodstock Ventures staffers and festival goers. When the music ended, the nearly 1 million hippies had left the White Lake area almost as swiftly as they had arrived. Soon enough, the town had gone back to its dull and boring rhythms. In the wake of the festival, there remained only mud. Heavy rains had started to fall during the middle of the concert festival, turning the whole area into what looked like a giant pit of my mother's chulent, a barely edible brown stew that tended to harden in your bowels and stay there for weeks. There were miles of mud. It was in the front office of the motel, on the floors and walls, and in nearly all the rooms. Where there once had been green lawns, there now stood a mud-soaked combat zone. My parents and I scooted and slipped around in it as we worked to restore a sense of order to our property and to our lives. By the time the festival was over, we were not only debt-free, but we were finally rich. At least by our definition. We were bone-weary as usual, but things were different now. We finally had something to show for our work. Money. One night I locked myself into the motel room farthest from my parents and calmly began to count through and smooth out the crumpled dollar bills that I had been stuffing into a black garbage bag over the past weeks. To my amazement, all the ones and fives and tens I had accumulated in the previous weeks added up to a little more than $50,000. And I knew just what I was going to do with it.